we're continuing our reasonably absorbing series on the stories behind songs that were number one on the New Zealand music charts 50 years ago. Last week we had a good chat with Russell Morris about his song Rachel. He had two big hits and then, as he put it, 30 years of nothing. But lately he's made a solid artistic and financial comeback. Today we're about to talk to Raymond Edward Dorset, a British guitarist, singer and songwriter, founder of a band named Mungo Jerry. In the middle of a New Zealand winter, 50 years ago exactly, the Mungo Jerry song In the Summertime was number one. And in the Northern Hemisphere, the song became synonymous with the season, of course, and then the summer after that and the one after that, and the royalties have gone on and on. 30 million copies sold. Ray Dorset, who's coming up, he wrote the song for 300 million plus views on YouTube. For a song as old as this, is pretty good going. You wouldn't write the same lyrics about drinking and driving today, as we said earlier, and they've been changed in cover versions, but as we said, the relationship was apparently not intended. Anyway, we don't want to rain on his parade, because the reason the song was such a smash is because of its sheer joy in just being alive, and Clive James once described it apparently as his favourite anthem for humankind.
See what you can find. If a daddy's rich, take her out for a meal. If a daddy's poor, just do what you feel. Speed along the lane, you go down or a turn of 25. When the sun goes down, you can make it good and live by. When I grab people, when I daddy, when I mean, we love everybody, but we do as we please. When the weather's fine, we go fishing or go sailing in the sea. Philosophy. Sing along with us, dee 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 dee, da 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 da, yeah we're happy, da da da, dee da da dee da 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 da, da 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 da, da 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 da. Sing again, we go driving, or maybe we'll settle down. If she's rich, if she's nice, bring your friends, and we'll all go into town.
Mungo Jerry's In the Summertime, and the man who created it lives in the UK, Ray Dorset. Hello, Ray.
Hello, Jim. I mean, you can call me Ray Dorset, you can call me Mungo, I don't mind, because I'm Ray Dorset, a.k.a. Mungo Jerry.
What do most people call you? Do they call you Mungo?
A lot of people don't know me. They call me Mungo. Some people call me Mr. Cherry. Some people call me Mr. Dorset.
Yeah. Can I take you back? Something happened to you at age 10, which was a bit spooky.
Are you talking about the...
fortune teller.
Fortune telling thing, yeah. Well, we used to go on holiday to a little place. Not so far away from where I am now, actually. I'm in Bournemouth by the sea, and we used to go on holiday as a family to Hayling Island, which is down the road. This is the next county along in Hampshire. There were all these like shops and fish and chip shops there, and at the bottom of the road, wherever you first place come, it was like some like little a miniature amusement arcade thing, very small. Like you know, you could, you know, like if you fancied a girl, you could put a penny in there and you could stamp out the name or your name on a piece of metal and all that sort of thing. One day there was this machine there, the Red Fortunes, and it was shaped like a hand and it had all these little tiny metal things that poked up in the air. So when you put your hand on there and the penny was in, these little things would come up and down and feel on your palm and then present you with a hard card. It was really quite thick, actually.
Yeah.
Quite a thick card, and it would have us like a short kind of prophecy, fortune. I was with my cousin, and she looked at it and she said, "Oh, it says that the most happiest years of your life will be spent writing songs." That Christmas, I was given a guitar. That set me off on the career that I ended up having now. But it wasn't my interest. I never wanted to become a fully professional musician or songwriter or anything. It was my interest was electronics and mechanical engineering, all this kind of stuff. And I was very happy doing what I did and doing music for fun. I was working in a research laboratory for Timex when 1970 came around. In fact, I asked my boss for the afternoon off work to do Top of the Pops, which seems a bit strange now, but that's what happened. And I was still at work when I was number one. In the summertime, it's iconic. It's a celebration of life for everybody. Like, life's for living. That's our philosophy. Yeah?
Yeah. You composed Summertime on a cheap second-hand Stratocaster in 10 minutes, so the story goes.
I came up with a melody one evening, very shortly after I got my first Fender Stratocaster guitar. And then the next day, when I went into the laboratory where I was doing my stuff, you know, my electronic stuff, and I was early. I had the melody in my head, and in the summertime, I wrote it all down. So I guess the whole process, the physical process, was about 10 minutes. So all the things that I'd liked in my life, you know, like going to the beach, going to the sea, going to the river, cruising along in with a top off of a car, all this kind of stuff probably was in my subconscious there, and it came out. So maybe, you know, we can say that physically it took 10 minutes. But in reality, you could say it took 22 years, couldn't you?
Yes, yeah. No, it's that kind of song. I know. You were stomping on a piece of wood for the drums.
Yeah, I put down an electric guitar first just to fill some gaps in, you know, or just for my own amusement. Went and Barry Murray, who was the producer and my old friend, he said, "Oh, that's great. Oh, yeah. Keep that on there." Right, so I put that on there. And then he said, "When I do the double track," he said, "the hasn't come out very loud." He said, "I think you better do that again. Double track that to make it come out a bit louder." So I don't think I did the ch-ch-ch second time around. And double track that. I just double track the ooh. So when I was doing the ooh, as it sounds, I hope you don't think I'm doing anything rude here. I tended to make it go a bit higher. So I go, like that. As though I'm pushing something. We had a jug there, an old glass flagon. The accent, the on-beat. And because I on stage, I didn't realise that I was stamping on the floor, and it was adding to the rhythm. And we didn't have a drummer, and the whole thing kind of worked. There was this gadget. And we didn't really know what it was, but it made a lot of noise, and it turned out to be a thing called a cabasa. And nobody really knew how to play it. So I just twisted it and put it together with the acoustic guitar. And then, say, you got me going where there's no singing, you've got this cabasa as well. So the whole thing mixed in together sounded great. And then Barry says, he said, oh, do you know what? It's a bit short. He says, it's a bit short. How can we make it longer? He said, and I said, why? He said, well, because I don't know if you know what PRS is. But PRS is the Performing Rights Society, whereby every time a piece of music gets played on the radio, the majority of that money goes to the publisher and the composer. And he said, you get double PRS money if the radio station plays it for over 3 minutes. This was in those days. I don't know what it is. So I said, well, just get the sound of a motorbike, put it at the end of the track, because it had an ending, and start the track up again from the beginning. And he said, oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, that's a good idea.
And Howard Barrow, the engineer, he had a Triumph TR6 sports car. He revved it up. And he went, vroom, 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 vroom. So Barry Murray is holding a microphone in his hand as Howard Barrow drove his car past to get a stereo spread, right? And then they took it into studio and mixed it up.
In the Summertime is said to be, I read in the publicity, the third biggest selling physical song of all time.
That's what they say. That's what they say, yeah. But I tell you what, I think it's the most known song in the world, or the melody is. Some people don't know the title. Most people don't know who Mungo Jerry is. They wouldn't have a clue. And they wouldn't know who Ray Dawson is. But when you come to think of it, if you consider that the record and the song and everything is a celebration of life, yeah?
Yeah.
Everybody in the world normally, you would say, celebrates life, yeah? And you could say that everybody in the world celebrates a birthday. But not everybody in the world celebrates Christmas because of all the various religious groups that don't celebrate Christmas. Yeah? And so, because of the melody and the fact of the vibe that it is, it's gone around the world. So it's in the Northern Hemisphere. It's in the Southern Hemisphere. It completely goes round to the East and it completely goes round to the West. So that melody, it's like Happy Birthday. And obviously, Happy Birthday was composed many, many, many years before In the Summertime. But Happy Birthday didn't start out in this world as Happy Birthday. Are you aware of that?
Yes, it was a good morning song to children, wasn't it?
Exactly, yeah. Good morning to you, good morning to you. Yeah, you're right. And that's how it was.
Look, lovely to talk to you. I've just got an eye on the clock, but I wanted to ask you that in the Summertime, there's been a massive sing-along for it in Germany this month. Did you hear about that?
Yeah. I mean, and also, there's a version in England that's on YouTube. It's really, really good, actually. It was put together by my son, James, and is, I don't know, 40 or 50 people all doing In the Summertime, a new version, all singing. It's got a lovely feel to it.
Yes.
It's just something people can do, you know. It's see, on the face of it, it's very, very simple. So if you play in the key of E, you only need three chords. But there's lots of inversions within those chords that give it a different sound and different thing. But basically, if you just know three chords and you know a 12 bar, it's good for beginners to play along to.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's almost a perfect song. And as you say, it's got into the hearts and minds of everybody all around the world. Congratulations on it. It's been lovely to talk to you and hear about it.
Hey, thanks, sir. By the way, I was in New Zealand. We were there in September, October.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. We went out sightseeing, and I was down at the Piri Beach. What's it called? Pier? Can't say it.
Piha.
Piranha. Pier Beach, and went to Kite Falls and all that sort of thing. And we were right on the beach where we stayed, in I forget the name of the little place. It's where my son. It's just not, you know, like a 5 minute drive from where my son is got his property there.
Okay.
It was terrific. Yeah. Anyway, look, it's great talking to you, Jim.
And, you too, Ray.
Take care. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Ray. Nice talking to you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.